जिगासं जापिहाराजे स्तनन्दात्वा पसद्गतिम्। One second. Putana loka balakni rakshasi rudirashana jighamsa japiharaje stanandatva pasatgatim। भूतना लोकबालग्नी रक्षसि रुदिरासना जिघ्हंसा जापिहाराजे स्थानन्द्वा तापसद्गतिम्। क्रिश्चन किं पुनः श्राद्धजा भक्त्या कृष्णजा पारमात्मने जच्छन् प्रियजातमन् किनु रक्तस्तन्मातरो जता पूतना पूतना द प्रोफेशनल रक्षसि लोकबाला अग्नि who used to kill human children, Rakshasi, the she-demon, Rudira Ashana, simply hankering for blood, Jighamsaya, with a desire to kill Krishna, being envious of Krishna, and having been instructed by Kamsa, api, still, haraye, onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, stanam, her breast, datva, after offering, apa, obtain, satgatim, the most elevated position of a spiritual existence. Kim, what to speak of? Punaha, again, sradaya, with faith, bhaktya, by devotion, Krishnaya, unto Lord Krishna, Paramatmane, who is the Supreme Person, Yachan, offering Priyatamam, the dear most, Kim, something, Nu, indeed, Raktaha, those who have an affinity, Tatmataraha, Krishna's affectionate mothers, offering the beloved child their breasts, Yata, exactly like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Putana was always hankering for the blood of human children, and with that desire she came to kill Krishna. But because she offered her breast to the Lord, she obtained the greatest achievement. What then is to be said by those who have natural devotion and affection for Krishna as mothers, and who offer him their breast to suck, or offer something very dear, as the mothers offer something to a child? Purport. Putana had no affection for Krishna. Rather, she was envious and wanted to kill him. Nonetheless, because with or without knowledge she offered her breast, she obtained the highest achievement in life. But the offering of devotees attracted to Krishna in parental love are always sincere. A mother likes to offer something to her child with affection and love. There is no question of envy. So, here, we can make a comparative study. If Putana could obtain such an exalted position in spiritual life by neglectfully, enviously making an offering to Krishna, what is to be said of Mother Yasoda and the other gopis who serve Krishna with such great affection and love, offering everything for Krishna's satisfaction? The gopis automatically achieve the highest perfection. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended the affection of the gopis, either in maternal affection or in conjugal affection, as the highest perfection in life. Ramya kanchit upashana braja badhu margena jakalpita. Omagyana timirandasya yananjana shalakaya chaksur ummilitam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha namo om vishnu padaya krishna prasaya bhutale shrimate rupaswami namo om vishnu padaya krishna prasaya bhutale shrimate bhaktivedanta swami iti namine namaste saraswate deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi pashatyade satarine Vanchakalpataruvyasha kripasindu vyevacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Queen Kunti also marveled at this particular instance that shows how kind and liberal is Krishna with his mercy. Sometimes in the neophyte state of, you know, God conscious, we tend to fear the punishment of Krishna. You know, there is, people follow, in one sense, religious principles out of fear of being punished. In one sense, the general system of education in this material world is by punishments and rewards. It's a very impersonal arrangement, but it's impersonal because we want it to be impersonal in one sense. We want to have, because of the desire of being independent, we want, in general, the conditioned souls want this impersonal arrangement. It's a system in which we automatically receive what we do. If we have piety, we trying to receive the fruits of our good work, of our being good, by enjoying the results of those that piety. So Krishna arranged the material world is like that. The whole universe is arranged with that system of punishment and rewards, which is basically the law of karma. So the law of karma rules over conditioned souls. So that rule of karma is overseen by Krishna's representative, specifically the personality of Yamaraj, which is Dharmaraj, is the person who oversees this punishment and rewards according to the laws that are there to govern the universe. And so the idea of this supreme or this higher being that awards all the punishments or the rewards is very fearsome. So the idea of God being a judge sitting in a big chair, you know, it almost looks like the depiction of Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, in the Washington Mall, sitting in this big chair in a very stoic position, and you know, like a judge, with a "you go to hell, you go to heaven" type of thing. So people tend to follow the laws of God out of fear. I don't want to go to hell. You know, I don't want to suffer. I want to be happy. So you want to be happy, you better follow the law. So similarly, even when we come to Krishna consciousness, we are exposed to not Krishna's system that is governed by his representatives in the material world, the demigods, but by him directly. And when we hear about him directly dealing with you and reciprocating, then we come to understand how merciful and how liberal he is with his mercy. We hear that some of the names that Krishna receives what is the prayer that we offer to Krishna in the what is it? They offer to Srimati Radhani, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Rate, Vrindavaneshwari, and to Krishna is, He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu. Karuna Sindhu means an ocean of mercy. And Dina Bandhu means he is very kind to the fallen conditioned souls. So we know these are names of Krishna that glorifies his merciful, supreme merciful nature. And we hear in the Bhagavad Gita how Krishna deals with his devotees. That even if the devotees commits some falls down and commits some abominable, this is a word that is used. It's not just a mistake, but he does something abominable, and is left for our imagination what we consider abominable. And there are some narrations in the scriptures that of devotees doing things that are abominable. There are several narrations of Lord Indra that is mind-boggling abominable. And so the devotees. But Krishna considers them still sadhu. And still Krishna doesn't discard this devotee as a fallen, but he remains dear to him and connected to him, to the point that he say very soon they back in their position of purity and devotion, because the devotees are conquered by Krishna's kindness and love. So we become exposed to Krishna's kindness ourselves. And although we still, at times in our neophyte condition, may follow rules and regulations out of fear or out of duty, not necessarily spontaneously. We are in contact with Krishna's personal touch. So we have access to this amazing and wonderful merciful quality of the Lord. So Srila Sukadev Goswami here is highlighting that. He marvels at that in his narration to Parikshit Maharaj. He says that here is this terrible, terrible witch. He called it, Prabhupada translate, a professional Rakshasi. So it's not an amateur Rakshasi or a little time Rakshasi, demoness, you know. This is a professional. When we talk about professional, is someone who knows their work very well. It's very skillful. A professional Rakshasi, who is not just like, you know, Rakshasas at man eater, but this one, like Krishna Archana was mentioning yesterday. She specializes in eating infants. That's her thing. So, most hideous, most abominable, most terrible personality. Any of you remembers, I know in Western, we grow up with sort of stories, you know, of Andersen and all these fables that are there. And then there was Hansel and Gretel. You remember Hansel and Gretel? We were so afraid of the witch. Also in the story of the Wizard of Oz, you know, the terrible witch, or in the story of Snow White, Disney stories, the witch. The witches always scare the children to the most. And especially, I always was scared of this story of Hansel and Gretel. Hansel and Gretel. That there was this witch that used to entice the children to come to this house of candy. So the children would come, you know, she offered disguise of an, you know, old grandma that have this heaven for children make of sweets and candies. I was very fond of candies when I was a child. I'm still very fond of candies. So I almost imagine my, you know, I mean, it would be like, imagine, you know, like my grandma used to make all these sweets. And she knew how fond of a particular sweets, to the point that even right now as an adult, my grandma is way gone. But my aunt, knowing that my grandma used to get great pleasure and just give me these sweets, she will make these fruit sweets, like this mango paste. It's the ultimate. Or she will make these papaya sweets, or she will make these figs filled with milk, like a, almost like a burfi type of thing inside the feet. I was in ecstasy as a child. Used to visit my grandma and she will feed me with sweets. So this story of Hansel and Gretel is this witch, terrible witch, whose business was to eat the child, the children. But she will entice the children to come, you know, to her abode that it was made out of sweets. And then she will capture the children and start to feed them with sweets until they become fat. And when they're very fat and, you know, chubby, then she will kill them and eat them. These are the stories. We don't grow up with Krishna book. Listen to Krishna's magnificent stories and loving what we create, you know, these are the stories. So I was terribly afraid of the idea of a witch, you know, like that. So anyway, so there is this terrible witch, Putana, who eats infants and children. And she comes to Krishna with the envious and hateful desire to kill Krishna. And she offered her breast not because of motherly affection, but because the disguise was such that the poison was in her breast. So the breast was her weapon, her means to kill Krishna. So she didn't offer her breast, you know, like, because she said, okay, you know, before killing him, I'm going to feed him. No, that was her weapon. Just like the witch of Hansel and Gretel is like the sweets. You know, this one was her breast. So she wanted to kill Krishna, and just because she offers something to Krishna, And especially, she did it in disguise of a mother who for Krishna is one of the principal loving relationship that he holds with his devotees. So we have these four principal relationships. There's five, but four of them are very, very personal. His servants, his parents, his friends, and his lovers, which are very intimate and very personal. But because she offered in that disguise, then Krishna turned a blind eye on all the terrible thing this demon represented and just took the good. That's how liberal he is. And Sukadev Goswami is marveling on this. He say, if he is able to do that with such a hideous being, demoniac being, what to speak of what the reciprocation that he have with his mothers, Mother Yasoda, Mother Rohini, and all the gopis who offer to him constantly their breasts in parental love. So what to speak of that? Queen Kunti also marveled at that. The same thing. She quotes the same, you know, the same instance how he gave Putana a position in the spiritual world as one of his mothers, just because of that. So how merciful Krishna is and how liberal he is. And we see that if we analyze it in many of our cases, there are some times that I sort of think, why is Krishna tolerating me or tolerating my offerings to him? Because at times I have to confess and at least acknowledge that my heart is not fully present in most of my offerings to Krishna. At best, my heart is mixed. There are some mixed things. When I analyze where I'm at in my Krishna consciousness, I understand that there is still this mixed track of things that I'm still holding that needs to be purified and the actual feelings of devotion to the Lord. And these things get mixed in my offerings to the Lord. At times, they're more devotional and less contaminated by my material condition. At times, they're more, less devotion and more contaminated because of whatever circumstances may be. You know, you may be in a rush or you may be in this and that, you know, circumstances, your mind is worried about something else. And there you are making an offering to the Lord, you know. And I'm thinking, how is that he tolerates this? He has such a, you know, there's so many pure, dedicated devotees. And he still, you know, keeps you engaged. He doesn't kick you out. He keeps you engaged. Sometimes I think of my merciful deity, or our merciful deity, our household deity, it's a little Govardhan Shila. And very beautiful and very kind, like this description of this generous, merciful nature of Krishna is fully present in this small Govardhan Shila. When I receive permission from our spiritual master, my wife and I, to worship Govardhan, then by the arrangements of some kind devotees, I was able to receive it. And not without a very strong message that was given by Krishna's arrangement that you absolutely no qualify for this. Nevertheless, the arrangement was made. When I received the information, it was very devastating. You are not qualified. Very graphic. It's a very nice story, I think. Okay, should I tell the story? Yeah, it's a nice story. His Holiness Dhanadhara Swami arranged for, once I told him, I got permission from my Guru Maharaj to worship Govardhan, so he was very happy to help me. So he said, yes, I take you to Govardhan. And, you know, I have done it many times. And we find a Brahmana in Govardhan village, you know, and then you bring some dakshin, you offer dakshin, and he gives you the shila, and it's all done. You have to, in order to worship Govardhan, you have to receive it from a Brijavasi. It's not that you can go and then pick a Govardhan shila and then start to worship like that. That's a big offense. You have to receive the worship by a residence of Govardhan or a residence of Vrindavan. So so Maharaj was very, no problem, you know, slam bang, it's done. So I was very hopeful, and then Maharaj makes the arrangement, and then I was also fortunate that not only His Holiness Dhanadhara Swami was taking me, but along with His Holiness Dhanadhara Swami was His Grace Virabahu Prabhu, another amazing personality in our ISKCON society, spiritual master. And along with them was another amazing Prabhupada disciple, Satyabrata Prabhu, which is one of the editors and, you know, authors of translating some of the works of this Goswamis. Anyway, I go with these amazing Prabhupada disciples. So it's all extremely auspicious. And we go to Govardhan, we go to Govindakund, and Maharaj instructed me, so look around, and then when you see a shila that draws you in, then pick it and bring it to me. So I was looking, you know, and then I saw this perfectly square little perfect sign. I wanted to be small because I wanted to travel, you know, that is a deity that we can always take with us everywhere we travel. So it had to be small. So I saw this perfectly beautiful square Govardhan Shila. So I picked it very carefully and brought to His Holiness Dhanadhara Swami, and he sees that here and says, oh, it's beautiful, this is it. And then, you know, he can even see, oh, I see the smile right now, and this and that. He was so excited. So he started to look around, and then look in the distance by the Govardhan, there was a small makeup, you know, hut, and in there was a very elderly Brahmana, white beard, you know, simple dhoti and a turban, white, you know, attached. And he was doing some worship there. And Maharaj, there is, okay, there is a Brahmana, we go in there. So I'm tagging behind them, you know, and then we approach the elderly Brahmana, and Maharaj started to say to him, you know, we offer obeisances, you know, the Brahmana look at us, you know, very sort of open. And then Maharaj started to mention all this, doing all this communication, like he say, Paka Brahmana, or Paka Vaishnava, saying, here's a good Vaishnava, pointing at me. Here's Giridash Maharaj, and he point, you know, to put it in my hand. So he's making all these motions, understanding he have done it so many times. The Brahmanas there, they know the drill. They know that they can get a donation and things like that. And, you know, so it's a common thing. It's not, you know, so they know, okay, he wants a Shila, you know, we have done it so many times. So Maharaj, very confident, go through the whole procedure. The Brahmana, just, you know, trying to understand, he was standing sort of like a little puzzled in the beginning, and then all of a sudden he started to become very, you know, he started to lay back like this, and he started to become very grave, you know, his face started to, you know, like, and then you can see he was like blowing like this, and all of a sudden he just go like, Bhagavan, you know, pointed at Govardhan, you know, this is God, you know, and then he started to, you know, like, chastising Brijavasi, you know, like, so we couldn't understand what he was saying, but you capture some words. He was saying, Nashta Sarira! Nashta means destroy, Sarira means the body. Your body will be destroyed, you know, something. I mean, he was like heavy. Of course, I was like, you know, just like melting into the soil, you know, and just disappearing. Understanding, like, you know, Maharaj, the another son was taking it back. Everybody was shocked. This Brahmana, you know, pointing his finger, and then he just walk in a puff, you know, and it goes away. And then, you know, I left completely devastated, and Maharaj Danura Swami say, I don't understand what happened. You know, we have done, you know, he, and then I say, no, Maharaj, this is clear. I don't know why in the world I even attempted or, you know, suggested to do this. Obviously, I'm not qualified for this. And then Maharaj, you know, still like, but, you know, how is this? And then Virabahu Prabhu, he goes like, Maharaj, why don't you ask another Brahmana? And then Maharaj goes, yes, we ask another Brahmana. And then I like, no, please, don't ask another Brahmana. It's fine. It's clear. I'm not qualified. No, we ask another Brahmana. And then he looks, and then he see a peaceful, you know, Govardhan Basi sitting by Govinda Kun, you know, peacefully sitting there. There we go there. So we go to this one, and then Maharaj goes to the same procedure. I'm like, you know, like all convoluted and all like, you know, and then Maharaj goes to the same procedure. Paka Brahmana, blah, 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 and then The Brijavasi goes like this, pick Govardhan Shila and put it in my hand. And so then I came to understand this, it was this realization that the only reason Giridash accepted to being worshipped by us, to come is because his devotee gave the permission. Rupa Swami, my Guru Maharaj, gave that permission. So he is extending his mercy. So another thing that was told to me is that Giriraj doesn't like to be worshipped outside Vrindavan. He doesn't like to leave Vrindavan. But you see how kind he is, that he accepts going with a neophyte devotee that is obviously not qualified to worship him, leave his hometown, the place that he is happy, Vrindavan, come to a very foreign, distant place, and being offered, you know, a half-hearted, at best, worship. But he does it, and he never shows but kindness. I don't know, we see that. You see that. He only shows kindness, like the kindness of a parent that is accept the children or the child mess, you know, out of love, compassion, and mercy. And he does that because he is caring for, because we're being cared by his devotee. So it's an extension. The extension of his mercy comes through his devotee. And then we have access to this unlimited mercy through his devotee. So it is a very amazing thing that sometimes we take for granted, or sometimes we don't even, you know, sit to understand. It's just there. You know, we have this marvelous fortune of receiving the Lord's mercy, you know, that he is engaging us in such an intimate service when we serve the deities. And that's all of us. We've been serving of the deities, you know, cleaning this place, doing things in the temple, cooking, dressing, offering, all these different activities that we do for the pleasure of the deities. And how is it possible? How is it possible that some of us have access to this most exalted position? When we come to realize that, then we're really advancing in Krishna consciousness. But even without realizing that, we're still receiving the benefit, just as Putana received the benefit. We also receiving that benefit. So it is indeed something to marvel about it. Just like Sukadev Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, Queen Kunti marvel. The amazing liver of mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Any comment or questions? Yes, Karuna Nidhi Prabhu.
The purport, last line, Ramya Kaschit, that's Subhars. Can you please elaborate a little more on that?
The last line of
In the purport, the Prabhupada mentioned.
Oh, that's a Brajabhut.
Ramya Kaschit, Brajabhudu, Bhargena, Nagya Kalpita.
Because you have some, you thought there's, you want to add something with that?
No, please explain something, say about that verse.
Well, that's the verse that Lord Chaitanya says, that the greatest devotees are the damsels of Vrindavan. So, and we aspire, or we follow in the footsteps of the damsels of Vrindavan. Gopi Bartor Kama Padalayor Dasa 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 Anudas. We are the identity of the devotees is that we are the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees, you know, the gopis. So we follow that. They are the greatest examples of devotion, and that's the devotion that we aspire. Can't say much details about it because that's a little beyond my, it's a little over my head, you know, in terms of the devotion of the gopis and like that. But that we aspire to be the servant of the servant of the servant, yes, that one is clear. And that's what I'm saying, that, you know, through dedicating ones to the service of the devotee, by, if we receive the grace of the devotee, then we receive the grace of Krishna. Krishna says that he is in the heart of his devotee. So if we somehow or other enter the heart, or is allowed to be in the heart of his devotee, then we are automatically in the heart of Krishna. So by service we can become dear to the devotees of Krishna, and by that service then we become very dear to Krishna. So we follow that. That much I can say. Yes, bro.
Thank you for the wonderful class, Subal. I really liked your stories, especially about your Govardhan Shila. I was also appreciating your stories about your grandmother. I've definitely was raised like thinking about God being someone who is in the sky, and you know, sort of judgmental and scary. And since you were talking about your grandmother, I was reminded recently, I was sitting down reading with my grandmother, and sometimes we read the Holy Bible, and we came across this verse, and it said somewhere along the lines of, like, one should fear the Lord our God. And so I stopped and I said, Grandma, what does this mean, fear? And she went on to explain that it actually means, like, to love God. And I thought it was, like, fear, like, afraid, you know, terror. So it's, like, since coming to the movement, I'm trying to learn, like, a new way to approach God. Like, I should not be afraid of him, you know, I should learn to love and serve him and his devotees.
Yeah, it's quite something, no? That's what I'm saying, that how fortunate we are. Well, how indebted we are to Srila Prabhupada, that he gave us entrance. And then part of receiving or diving into that ocean of mercy is to share also with others that opportunity. It's quite something, no?
No, it's just a comment, but
yeah, thank you.
It's really special, thank you.
Right, anything else? Thank you. Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.